chapter 10. Electronic Bible, which I love, by the way. If you're a fan of like reading out of multiple translations, which I am, I love the Blue Letter Bible, and you can. It's got all sorts of commentaries and interlinears. You can go study the verses in multiple translations. John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they didn't understand what he was speaking to them. Then he said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He'll go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I've come that they would have life, and they would have it more abundantly. I've talked on that verse about life and abundant life, and it's actually, I won't recreate it here, but we talked about this. It's actually this, like, that word about abundant life, this like over the top, excessive even, supernatural. It's this word that's almost you can't get your head around the promise, the fulfillment of what he's doing right now, right? Can't get your head around him healing cancer. Can't get your head around him restoring a broken relationship. Can't get your head around a miraculous answer when there was no option on the table, right? No options, and he does it. And it's what he's talking about, this thing about abundant life. This explosive thing called life. But it's interesting, because there's a theme in the word here. All through Scripture that talks about this thing that we call life, right? We talk a lot about eternal life, right? Mm-hmm. And being a goal. And for so long in the church, we've booted that understanding to, well, that's what I get when I die.
Right.
Yeah.
When I die, then I get this thing called eternal life, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. But right now, it just kind of sucks.
Well, we think that, right? We think that.
Well,
this is
actually, they're taught they're in a holding pattern.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so sometimes I might go, oh God, just sustain me. Get me through it. Get me through it. Just get me through it. There's no thought of abundance. There's no thought of flourishing.
Not
there's
no
thought of more or excessive, like, there's no thought of supernatural, ridiculous answers to life here, okay? It's interesting. Do you know that, and it's important when you read the Word, because we see these things about God bring life, God bring life, God bring life, God,
right.
All these things about life. Do you know that in Scripture there's different words for life? In fact, the Greeks had three words for life, okay? One of them, the Greek word is bios. Bios. And I'll phonetically change it because it sounds like bios, bio,
mm-hmm.
right? It's where we get our word biology.
Right.
Okay. And it has to do with the physical body, right? So there's a lot of times when God talks about our physical bodies, our life, right? He's saying, hey, I've got things that are about restoring and fixing your biological life. Right? That's why we see a lot of things about healing, right? He talks about taking away, brokenness in our bodies. He talks about making healing pain in our bodies,
mm-hmm.
blindness, and right things like that. Right. Another one is psuche. Right. So I'll phonetically change it for you. Psyche.
Psyche.
Okay. Psych. Where we thank you. Psychology. Where we get our word psychology. So there's a language in the Bible where he's talking about the things of your mind, the things of your mind, your will, your emotions, right? In fact, in Matthew 16, he says, for whoever wants to save his life must lose it. Interesting. Why we need to understand the understanding of life is what he's saying. You have a mentality about you that's not kingdom structured. You're actually thinking about yourself as broken and lost, as separate and afraid. Mm-hmm. And what's he saying? Hey, you need to lose that thinking.
Oh my God.
Right? You need to lose that understanding of life, psyche life, because there's a kingdom mindset that's all about your connectedness and your provision in him and your connectedness in him, right?
So it uses that word in that verse?
Yes, it does.
Sukia,
right? Whoever wants to save his life must lose it, right? You want to be rescued? I have to change this. That's why Paul in Romans, he says, folks, our focus is this transformed mind, Romans 12:2.
Right.
So be not conformed to the world, this other way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
And what's the promise of that renewed mind, that renewed thinking, is this place of this where he says we can accomplish this perfect will of God. Okay. Third one is Zoe. You knew that. Zoe. We've talked about Zoe life, right? So this is a crazy word, because how do you describe that? This, he says, I've given you, he's in me. Mm-hmm. Right? This his image is in me. Right? The essence of God is in me. Right? There's a life that's a he says that this eternal life of God, the being of him is inside of me, right? That's when he says that the Zoe life of God is in me. He says in John 1, he said, in him was, talking about Jesus, Jesus pops on the scene in John, I love the Gospel of John, when he says, in him was life and the light of men, right? In him was life, and that life was the light for all men. In him. Jesus came to say, that image of him, the presence of him is in me, right? So Jesus came in your form, so you could, because you can't, how do we get our head around his him in me? And Jesus says, here's what you're going to do. Watch me, because this Zoe life, this divine life I carry, and I came as man to show you this new thing. We understood bio, yes. We understood psyche. And we said, okay, how can I fix my body? How can I take care of life? How can I fix my mind? It's all man understood. And there's this third piece that comes in. It says, now there's him, right? His divine essence, right? Now, sozo, the word for to save, the verb, he says, I came to sozo you unto salvation. Sozo is about fixing, restoring, healing your biological, your physical, your mind,
everything,
and also reconnecting you with this image of him in you, right? Mm-hmm. So there's these three things of life it's important to understand. Because this one we couldn't get our head around, all this other one we thought, I can control it, I can manage it, I'll just exercise, I'll take this, I'll go to a psychologist, I'll fix these things. No, the one we can't fix is him in us. Right? That Zoe life, right? Interesting. In the garden, right? Two trees. Tree of good and evil, and what?
Tree of life.
Okay? Revelations tells us this, in Revelation 22, blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have right to the tree of life. Right? What's he? Life, Zoe. Blessed are you, right? There's this washing, this making new, this restoring to you, the tree in the garden. We were talking about this week with your mom, right? Mm-hmm. Garden. What's the tree? What's the tree all about, right? Revelation tells us the tree is about this understanding of this divine life. We understood how to fix psyche. We thought we did. We think we understand physical. tree of good and evil, right? There's things that you can try to get your hands around, but the only way we can get our head around, we could grasp this thing about him, right, is this, is by him, Jesus comes and shows us how to reconnect with this divine person in us, right? Christ in us, right? Zoe life, it's like this, it literally is the absolute central theme of the entire Bible. Everything, every story, every scripture, every activity, all points to Jesus coming to uncover, reveal the divine nature that's in us, okay? It tells us in creation that man was made with God's image in him, right? And there was just like this, I don't get it. We don't have this awareness of it. We don't connect with it. In fact, we ended up running from it. Right? So Jesus came to restore that to us. So when he says in John 10:10, I came that you would have life and life more abundantly. Zoe. He says, I came that you would have this Zoe life. Not only that, I came that you would have this Zoe life explosively, like abundantly. So there's the creator of the universe has this thing where he says, look, I created you to share in my divine life. I created you to partner and connect with me. And every step, you would like march with me, walk with me. Right? Mm-hmm. I need to change my thinking. I'm getting myself physically connected, restored. Mm-hmm. Because those are distractors. Hey, by the way, when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, do you know the only things he has access to? It's bios and psyche.
Right.
The only thing he has access to is to jack up your body or your mind. The only thing the enemy can come, when he says he came to steal, kill, and destroy, he's going to go after your physical body, right? He's going to go after your thinking. He's going to bring fear and anxiety and worry. He's going to disrupt you in that place, right? The one thing he can't, right? Because he doesn't have it, by the way. The only one who was made with that image in him was you.
Wow.
Right? It wasn't until creation when he made man that he said he made them in his image. The angels had to just stare and go, wow, we've never seen this before. Right? So you actually carry something he's jealous of. He can't touch it. Right? But if I can disrupt your thinking and your being, I'm going to distract you from Zoe. I'm going to distract you from life. Yeah, the essence of who you were created to be, right? So this whole thing, it's like we were born. When we get born again, when we use that language, you know what we're actually saying? We're actually waking up to this revelation, the stirring of him in us. That's what happens, right? It doesn't happen like that. Well, it does, but it's also maturing into it.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning to like, okay, how do I manage this? How do I walk with this? I've never had it before, right? And guess what's going to try to come and attack me? Those other two places of my being are going to come, you know, other life elements. Mm-hmm. They're going to come and say, oh, that's not you. Oh, that's a lie. Oh, that's not true. That's why I love how that scripture in Revelation says, hold on. Let's write these words because this is what's faithful and true.
Mm-hmm.
You're whole and you're made new, right? You're whole and you're made new, all of you. You're in, and I call you son and daughter. You're mine, right? So I wanted to share on that because I was reading this story, and it's by Francois Duclos. So he's the author of the Mirror Bible, okay? And he shares this story of back in his, when he got married, back in the 70s, he's from South Africa. And he says he was meeting with a conservation officer. And they were releasing a black eagle into the open, right? It had been in the Pretoria Zoo.
Mm.
Okay. So it's been caged in the zoo for 10 years. And he said they brought the cage, they were all excited. They brought the cage, I think it was called a black eagle, a big, like 2-meter wingspan.
Wow.
Right? They were all excited about this, the releasing of this eagle. And they came up to the mountaintop and took the cage there, and they opened the cage, and the eagle wouldn't fly out of the cage.
Mm.
and they were like prodding it and encouraging it. They said that the event took hours.
Wow.
The eagle would not leave the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what is going on? Right? The only thing the eagle knew was life in a cage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They said that
well,
there was a moment, they said, way up in the sky, another eagle
come on, that's so good.
Flies by and calls out, and the eagle looked up, heard the voice, and immediately,
wow,
immediately flew up. All it knew was a caged life. All it knew was, this is my existence. All it knew was, there's nothing else, right? And in a moment, I hear the voice. I hear the voice that connects with me. I hear the voice that says, this is who you are. That's why I love that in John 10. When Jesus
that's
says,
good.
My sheep know my voice.
Right. Yeah.
That's why the nurse leans over the thing and hears you, hears the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Something inside connects with that prayer. Something inside connects with the hope and the faith of what you're speaking of, right? And I thought, wow. Why did Jesus come, right? There was religion on the earth. The Jews had a religion. Jesus didn't come to say, that's not good enough. Here's another one. Try this one.
Right.
Right? He came. Inside of you is his image in us. And we're living trapped. We're living lost, we're living confused with no awareness of who I really am, right? Jesus came to be the eagle, the voice of the eagle flying that says, oh, this is who you are. This is, and that's why it's so wonderful. It's like, do I need to go to seminary to get this all right?
No.
Do I need to go to church and make sure?
If you do.
Yeah.
That's why they call it cemetery.
Or do I need to go to church and make sure I don't miss a Sunday? Because, right, I need to check all the boxes. Because if I don't, I'll never fly. And or I'll never hear. I'll never know. I can only tell you how many times I would see somebody pray for somebody, and I'll say, that's them, that's not me.
Right.
Or I'll hear them share a thing like, I heard God say, and I say, I would tell Darla, God might talk to you, but he doesn't talk to me. I said it all the time. Right? And it was me in the cage.
Right. Yeah.
I had no thought that I could actually hear him. I had no awareness that I could actually connect with him. I had no thought that I had authority and power, that I had the resources of the kingdom at my fingertips, right here. He says, you walk in the kingdom, I carry it wherever I go. No awareness. I thought, I have to earn it. I have to somehow get, like, in the club, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do to get myself the executive membership kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I knew. Jesus comes, and he said, I came for this one reason, to reveal who you are, right? The gospel is one thing. The gospel is the voice of the eagle. That's it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The gospel is the voice of him repeating again, here's who you are, here's who you are, here's who you are. Don't let anybody change the story. Don't let anybody try to reword it for you. That's what the gospel is. Here's who you are. Here's who you are. Lots of people telling you, here's what you aren't.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
They tell you you're broken, you're
mm-hmm.
guilty, you're ashamed, you should be ashamed, you should da-da-da-da-da-da. That's not the voice of God.
Right.
God is only speaking to who you are, period, right?
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 1 says this, he's the image of the invisible God, speaking of Jesus. The one who carries the sound, the one who carries that voice, the one he says, just listen to him, the eagle voice, is Jesus. And he said, he is the image of God, right? He's the firstborn of all creation, Jesus, right? To Colossians 2, the next chapter says, in him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells, and you are complete in him. He's the head of all principality and power. But what's it say? You're complete in him. You lack nothing in him. Right?
Yeah.
All of humanity was associated in him before you were ever born. Before the foundation of the world, you were created in his image. It's in you. Right? This thing, there's a shell that's lying to you. There's a shell that's confusing you. It's distracting you. It's taking your eyes away from him in you. Right? That shell is sin, by the way. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then probably the two most important words in the Bible. In Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're always talking about with us. Right? That we're one with him. Right? It's like that, the central message of everything that we share here, everything we sing about here, is our oneness with him, our connection with him, right? And it's because of God's doing, by the way, that you're in him, right? 1 Corinthians says it this way, of him you're in. Because of him, you're in him. Because of Jesus, you're in Christ. Because of him, you're in Christ Jesus. He became for us the wisdom from God. And righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Jesus qualified you 100%. No reservations.
Mm-hmm.
Fully qualified you to be accepted in him. Right? It says that he chose you in him before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. That you would be holy and without blame before him in love. By the way, holy, we talked about that. Think of it as a holistic word. I have restored you, bios, psyche, and soul. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? He says, and at that day, John 14, you're going to know that I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a waking up. So I'll close with this verse in Ephesians chapter 3. Because we're trying to get our heads around it. We don't understand the dynamic of it all the time. It's confusing. God calls it a mystery. Right? Ephesians 3, 4 says this. I'll read actually verse 3. Because it's by his revelation, the Holy Spirit comes, and he wakes up your heart. Holy Spirit comes, and he all of a sudden your mind goes, oh, I know that. I see it. Right? And all of a sudden it starts to take hold, and he says, right? By that revelation, he's made known this mystery. And he says he's briefly written already. And that when you read it, right, where's my Bible down there? And when you read it, right, you're going to wake up. When you read it, it's going to alert your senses. It says you're going to, something's going to like come to recognition inside of you. Something's going to go like snap, like lights went on. All of a sudden. It says, when you read it, that's what's going to happen. And it's going to bring you insight. There's this fun word. It talks about, it says, when you read, you're going to understand his knowledge in this mystery of Christ. When there's going to be this waking up inside of you that's going to connect you with Jesus, what Jesus is saying about I'm in the Father. There's going to be this thing inside of you that goes, just like Jesus is in the Father, I'm in him. And he's in me. There's this thing that wakes up inside of you. I love how he talks about this knowledge of that mystery. Because the word is sunesis. And it literally means there is like this coming together. It's a word that describes the coming together of two rivers. So you've been on a journey in life. And Jesus is trying to get you alert, aware, waking up, stirring in your heart to who you are in him. And he says, here's what Holy Spirit does. It's like, guess what? We're going to connect here. Right? And we're learning what this merging of the two streams looks like. Right? Our journey is like this waking up to him in us. This, it's like who he is in me. Paul knows. He's speaking to that confusion. How can this possibly be? It's like, Our whole journey in life is learning. I'm one in him. Christ is in me. I'm learning to do life this way. This is what Zoe life is, the tree of life. And he says, and he wakes me up to it, the divine image of him and me. So with that, I'll say, Father, thank you that you're stirring us, you're waking us, you're connecting us, right? And you're coming in such a way that it's two rivers coming together as one. Two rivers is one. So I bless you this week.
Right.
Two rivers is one. I bless you this week. Two rivers is one.
Right.
Your river married with him. And when, guess what? When they merge, you can't separate them.
Right.
You can't separate them.
It's a stepping in. It's learning how to step in from one realm, which is this realm, into the heavenly realm, which we do by faith.
Yeah.
We just do it by faith.
Yes.
It's really simple. We just do it by faith. We just step into his realm. When you read scripture, you don't just read scripture. You meditate on the scripture. And when you meditate on it, it's like your inner man opens, something opens up, and you step into a different
realm.
You step into a different realm. It becomes alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything Jesus is trying to show you is that, right?
And it's so amazing when it happens, you can actually feel the presence of the Lord just go. You know when you get there. It's awesome.
So you just got the call right now?
Yeah.
So it's your nephew? And he had a seizure?
Yeah.
So do we know anything else? What's his name?
Stephen.
Mm. Here we go.
Let's go.
Right?
Yeah. Father, so we just all come in agreement right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Father, by faith,
yeah.
Father, we just step into that heavenly realm.
Right.
And Father, we look down from heaven right now to where Stephen is. And Father, we just declare right now, we just command that seizure. Father, we just command the effects of that to go away right
come
now.
Come on, right now.
In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come around Stephen right now. And that you would restore everything back to its original design. And Father,
right.
We just declare that there won't be no brain damage whatsoever.
No damage.
Thank you, Father. And Lord, we just release the glow of your presence and your fire to come into Stephen right now to restore everything back to its original design. And Father, we just thank you for your presence right now. And that, Father, you would just embrace Stephen and not only just feel like your presence, but Father, he would just also tangibly be encountered by your love, Lord.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks, Papa.
Jesus.
Thanks. Isn't... Do you find it interesting that she got the call right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think
awesome.
God knew there's these, they believe for Stephen's healing and wholeness.
Yeah. And Stephen deserves everything he can give him. It's good and positive.
We bless them.
Yeah.